It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe here on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3, the game. No Big Joe today. Teron Davenport is in for him, and we are live at the Hermitage Golf Course for Stars in their annual golf tournament. We'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go along today. But TD, good to see you. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. It's great to be seen. We got the draft coming up, a lot of conversation there, and just, man, it's another day.
Can I just say, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way, thank the good Lord that it's draft week, because I'm tired of all this speculation and what are they going to do here or what's this team going to do and all that stuff, and it's just like, finally, can we talk about these prospects that are actually being drafted by
the team? Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, all right, I have fatigue from not being able to just talk about a prospect in particular or a player that the team got. You got to look at, you know, five different edge rushers, five different receivers, three different quarterbacks. You know, it's just like, come on, let's just talk about Cam Ward. Let's talk about Luther Burden. Let's talk about, you know what I mean? Yeah, I gave away what I hoped to happen in the first two rounds. I'll admit it.
All right, well, let's start with that. So, because I think one of the big discussions now is, because I believe most people, except for Joe Dubin, have accepted that Cam Ward is going to be the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. He has this crazy idea that they're still going to trade out last minute. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Cam Ward is going to be the pick.
Yeah.
The question then is, do you stick and pick at 35, or do you try and move back in the second round so you can add a third rounder that you currently do not have?
Yeah, and that's a big question to answer. I think it really is going to depend on who is there. So you look at some of the options, you know, whether you're looking at Luther Burden, you're looking at, you know, Landon Jackson, Donovan Ezeraku, you know, Pierce, who I don't think makes it to the second round, but let's
From
put
UT.
Him in there, James Pierce.
Yeah.
Those types of prospects, if they're there, I don't think you move back. But if they're not, then you do look at moving back. You want to hope that one of these teams wants to move up to get a Tyler Shuck, a Jackson Dart, or that type, and you can acquire an extra third round pick.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, look, if Luther Burden's there at 35, it's going to be very hard for me to say no.
Yeah,
I mean, he's that good. If you really want to get it back into the third round, you can figure it out.
Yeah, you could figure – you could put some things together to get into the third round, but the thing that you have to look at and just understand is, okay, how far back in the second can you go?
Right.
That's the big thing.
So I have been obsessed with the draft simulator that ESPN Analytics has.
Yeah.
And I have run a few simulations where I'm basically able to trade back to, like, anywhere from 43 to 47 in the second round – and acquire, you know, and probably move like one of the six rounders and stuff like that too. But acquire a third round pick.
Yeah. And if you could do that, now you're looking at the Kyle Williams.
Yeah.
You're looking at, you know, the Kyle Kennards and those types. I wouldn't be opposed to doing that as long as Burden is not on the board.
But yeah.
If he's on the, like, you almost have to. Look, Blesto, the scouting agency that a lot of the NFL teams use. They had Luther Burden as a top five prospect entering this past year. Like, this guy was someone who was pretty much universally considered to be a top 10, top 15 pick.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's reasons why he dropped. If those reasons are not enough to offset you liking him as a prospect, like, do it. I really think that the talent is there.
I 100% agree with you. And, you know, I think there are – it's not like last year's draft, but I think there's some good receivers in this draft. And TD, we've said this ad nauseum throughout the offseason. They've got to address that position.
Have to.
And I really think when I say address that position, I mean we'll take the first round out because we know what they're doing, but the second or third round, they've got to get a receiver. Now, you want to get somebody else in the fourth or the fifth, like Restrepo, if he's there, probably, what do you think, fifth?
Yeah, I would say fifth.
If he's there, then okay, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. But you got to get, you know, somebody in the second round, in my opinion. So I'm with you. If Burden's there, it's going to be really hard not to go turn the card in and say, okay, we're going to take this guy. We got a quarterback. We got a receiver.
Right.
And then we'll figure the rest out you know, even if as hard as it is to basically sit there at 35, make the pick, and then you don't pick again until, what is it, 103? That's a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the problem, you know.
Now you have two fourth-rounders that you can play with. You can look at next year's draft and move one of those picks, and then, again, it's kicking the can down the road, but, you know, if you have to do that, then I think you probably can. And go ahead.
Packers, why not Packers Levis? And, you know, still not talking about that.
That was my next question because – and I want to know if you agree with this sentiment or not. I think it would be to the detriment of Cam Ward and Will Levis if Will Levis is still on this team, because you've basically already told Will Levis you're not the guy anymore.
Yeah.
See if you can move him. Now, you're not going to get the moon for him, but see if you can move him. Let him go have a fresh start, and then you take any awkwardness and that unneeded pressure off your rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing to do. However, if they're not able to do it, like, these guys, they have to coexist.
Sure.
They have to figure out. And, you know, I like the makeup that Cam has to be able to do that, to be honest
sure.
with you. So, yeah, I mean, the bottom line, you know, the keys are being turned over to a new driver.
Do you see a scenario at all where they just release Will Levis?
No.
I don't either.
No, because, you know, the contract, like, it's a rookie contract. It's not something that's hard to absorb, you know what I mean? So I don't see that.
You can weigh in on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can also call. This is already a good question from Dylan. Do you think it's more important to address wide receiver or to get Cam Ward a talented tight end to rely on?
Well,
his tight end for Miami could be there.
Yeah, Arroyo could be there.
Yeah.
I still feel Chig is a solid pass catcher. I still feel he is. Has he become what everybody thought he would, you know, with all the hype in his first training camp and all that? No, but, I mean, 50 catches for 500 to 600 yards is not bad, especially in that offense last year.
Right.
And you saw him start to catch on a little bit later, and things started to work out, and they were scheming for him, and I think he's capable. Now, does that mean you don't draft a tight end? No, I would look at one. Arroyo is one that I would really look at. This is a league where matchups are supreme.
I like the kid from Texas, too.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's so many guys. You know, there's one from Texas Tech. His name slips my mind, but I saw him at Shrine, and he was an impressive pass catcher, too. I'll look him up. I forget his name.
I hear what you're saying about Chig. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think that, you know, he's been put in the best position to succeed, but at the same time, like, you gotta show me something more than you have. And the tight end position to me is so important for a rookie quarterback because it's the safety blanket. Mm-hmm. It's the rookie QB safety blanket that if they get a little overwhelmed, well, they know the tight end's there, and they can check down to the tight end and hopefully get something out of it. Now, can Chig play that role? Sure. I think Chig can play that role, but
yeah.
I want to see a little bit more out of him.
Yeah, Jalen Conyers is the Texas Tech tight end there. But, look, here's the other thing that you have to look at. A Restrepo, he's obviously not a tight end.
No.
But he could work the middle of the field and do those things that you ask a tight end to do. You know, when you have a sturdy slot player like that, that's a safety net for your quarterback also. And we know, you know, that's a connection. And just talking to him, and then you look at Shannon Dawson, the Miami OC, like he literally was like, hey, you guys, when you want to do your thing, go ahead and do it. Like,
yeah.
You have my trust, so go ahead and do it. I thought that was pretty cool. He told me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I would love a scenario where you're getting a dynamic receiver, you know, probably in the second round, and then you get Restrepo in the fifth to pair with his quarterback, and then you add that to Calvin Ridley that you already have. If Bryce Oliver becomes the next NWI, then great.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever Treylon Burks is at this point, you know, you kind of throw that in there too.
I laugh because Schefter put out a story with like different draft intel, And he had Treylon Burks as one of the guys on a rookie contract that could be traded. I'm like, dude, like, he's not even cleared to play. Like,
yeah, he's not, he may not even play this year.
Yeah, you can't trade him.
Well, and the other thing, too, and we can continue this discussion, Teron Davenport in for Joe Dubin today, is I want the – you know, I say the tight end being kind of a safety blanket, but a Tyler Boyd type – now, I think Tyler Boyd, like he showed he didn't have a lot of separation left last year, but someone like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who could be that guy that could be that slot receiver that's also a good go-to guy? We'll continue to discuss that as the draft is finally here this week. Brett Kern going to join us at 10 o'clock as he always does. We're live at the Hermitage Golf Course today for Stars Golf Tournament. We'll tell you more about that. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport in today on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at the Hermitage Golf Course for Stars. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Talking draft. It is Thursday. Finally, it is going to be here. Teron, of course, will be over at the facility. They have the pre-draft press conference coming up. Is that today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
So we will hear from the Titans brass on all of that. And I don't think they're going to get up there and say, yeah, we're going to take Cam Ward number one overall. But no. I think everybody kind of has a good idea that is going to be the case. So talking about the kind of the slot receiver, you know, they brought in Tyler Boyd last year, and I loved that signing when they made it. I think we were talking about well before they did it, and they did that after the draft, that they should sign Tyler Boyd. They did. He was disappointing, like most of the team really was. And it just didn't work out the way everybody had hoped. I felt like maybe Boyd was missing a step or two. But who could be a guy, whether they're on this team or still in free agency or potentially in the draft, that could kind of fill a role like that? Because they need to address that.
Yeah, you know, I think Tyler Lockett will fill that role if you want to go the veteran route.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I feel Van Jefferson can be a guy that could work the middle of the field and keep forgetting they signed him.
Like, yeah. I'm just not used to that yet.
But, I mean, look, like, that's not a major signing. So,
No.
It's understandable that you forget about him. But I think you really have to go towards the draft. And you know, Restrepo is just – he's someone I keep going back to and just saying, you know what? He's going to fall, highly productive. He's sturdy, a great understanding of the game. He looks at it like a quarterback. He's always going to be where you want him to be. He reminds me a lot of like an Adam Humphries type of player. You know what I mean? And I love the fact when I talk to him, I love when guys know the game.
Yeah.
So we're talking. I'm like, well, who are some guys? And he said Devon Best. And I almost fell out my chair. I'm like,
yeah.
Thank you for being a – because Devon Best ran a 4.65. Right, he was ultra productive at the University of Hawaii, ran a 4.65. Everybody was like, psst. But then the Dolphins got him, and he was murdering the slot for them, man. So I thought it was cool that he mentioned him. But, yeah, he's that type of player. There's some other options. You know, I think you look at Harold Fannin, he's not, like, a supremely athletic guy, but he's a tight end that you could flex and have him, you know, run routes and get open too. Like, there's Arroyo, you know, he's another one. Like, there's
I like
so
Arroyo.
Many, yeah, guys that you could, you know, kind of mix him in, tight end slash slot. And there's other guys like, you know, Restrepo that's just pure slot.
Now, Restrepo has been a recent guest on the Talking with TD podcast, correct?
Yeah.
You can go and listen to that. I know you've had quite a few prospects on in the last few weeks. Is anyone he's obviously stood out to you. Is there anyone else that Titans fans should pay attention to?
Yeah, I know there's some interest in Elijah Badger. And you saw that we grabbed him in the sixth round of this mock that I'm doing. I don't know why he's like not getting talked about, but he's considered like a fifth, sixth round guy. 20 yards per catch. I mean, his skill set is very similar to Stephon Diggs as far as, like, you know, very good on the releases, good yards after catch. He has some return ability, kick return. He hasn't done punts, but he's one. You know, Landon Jackson, I just like Landon Jackson. This dude, you know, he was consuming 4,500 calories a day in high school. to gain weight.
Good grief. That's a lot.
and when he was in middle school, he walked a mile and a half to go to practice, like to go to school, because his parents, you know, weren't together. He wanted to go to the school where his dad lived, so he walked. Crazy story. But, yeah, those are two. You know who Eugene Asante, the Auburn linebacker, he was voted one of the linebackers of the week at the Senior Bowl, but he was so fun to talk to, and he talked about how, you know, everybody doubting him. That's what he always thinks about, you know, when it's time to play. That was one of our first interviews. He was cool.
Teron Davenport is in for Joe Dubin today here on the Chase and Big Joe Show at the Hermitage Golf Course. And what I find fascinating about this draft, they don't have a ton of picks, but they got a good amount that you could certainly address some needs. But once again, I think the Titans find themselves in a situation where they're not going to be able to fill every hole.
Right.
You know, and they can do the post-draft wave of free agency. They can, you know, obviously do the undrafted free agents, which they've, you know, been successful in finding some diamonds in the rough there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're kind of looking at this draft, for me, quarterback aside, because we know they're going to address that, it's receiver, it's edge, it's tight end, and then if you can find a guard, I would love to find a guard.
A guard?
A guard. And as Floyd, the late, great Floyd Reese always taught us, you can definitely get a guard later in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, they're there. So if they walk away with that, I'm going to feel good. Now, the wild card in all of this is we don't know what's going to happen with L'Jarius Sneed. So if the right corner's there, do you sacrifice a guy that you've had on your board that you really, really liked at another position to take the corner because you might need a corner?
You saw what we did on him.
Yeah, I know. You just went through it.
Yeah.
Who'd you take?
Quincy Riley. Okay. And he was here last week, so there's obviously interest. He's another one of those spillovers that, you know, last year he was considered a top two-round prospect. This year, you know, third, fourth, you wouldn't use a second on it, but, I mean – he's someone. I think you look at Kobe Bryant out of Kansas also. He was so impressive at the Senior Bowl, or excuse me, Shrine. But then you go back and watch the Colorado game. Like, he told me, he was like, man, I took that personally. You know what I mean? Not to take anything away from Travis Hunter. He just wanted to show that he is the best corner in the college football. So those are a couple guys I would consider taking because, like you said, you don't know what's going to happen. Will it be a suspension? Like, what?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
So you do have to secure. And then even still the health risk that is with Sneed also.
I will say this, that I've heard you and Jared discuss it, and I've heard Jared, you know, discuss it multiple times on his show. I am not – like, if he gets suspended and you decide to move on, okay. I'm not opposed to that. I get it. Save that money. I'm not giving it to Jalen Ramsey. I'm not a fan of Jalen Ramsey. I know he's from here, like all that. That's great. I've never really been a big fan. You're trying to – he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player.
Yeah.
But he's a good player. But I just – you're trying to fix some culture stuff in this locker room, and I don't think that helps.
Yeah, and not only that, he's not at a point where the talent supersedes the other stuff you deal with.
Yeah,
anymore.
Exactly.
You know what I
right.
mean? So, yeah, I get it. I just always when someone mentions Jalen Ramsey, I always think of that video that they put up where he was walking into the stadium and they got Michael Irvin and the guys in the background cracking up because he's walking in. He was kind of feminine walking in, but they took the Beyonce Freakum dress and put it to that music. It was so funny, man. It's the funniest video.
Well, I remember the Brinks truck and
because he's a baller. He was a baller. Like, he had a point where you're like, hey, Jalen Ramsey, and then the rest of the corners. It's not the same anymore.
Yeah, and look, he had a good year for Miami. I don't think he had a bad year by any means. But, you know, one, I'm definitely not trading for him. Like, I'm not giving up an asset to trade for him. But I just – now, if you go through this whole process and it turns out that Sneed's gone and then Jalen gets released in Miami and you can get him on a prove-it deal, then I might talk about it. But at the same time, I still worry about, you know, bringing some of that into this locker room.
Right.
With no, the, with a young corner group. Because, you know, they released Chidobe Awuzie, which I was a little surprised. I was surprised but not surprised at the same time. I mean, I think they just looked that maybe he's just too hurt. But I liked that signing when they made it. But you released him, and so you got a relatively young group. It's a group that I like, but I do think they need a veteran where if you have a healthy Snead and a Snead that doesn't have trouble, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
But it's a big if right now.
Yeah, that's the two factors, the injury and the injury possibility and the other stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know how that's all going to work out. 615-737-1025. There are, if you got some questions for TD, you got a whole show to do it. So you can get those in. There's a few on our text line that we'll get to coming up next. But I also want to talk defense because we spent a lot of time on the offense. We'll do that coming up here on Chasing Big Joe. We're live today at the Hermitage Golf Course for the Stars Golf Tournament. And our show, of course, is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville Best Deal, Dr. Crane bringing it today, is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. Chasing Big Joe, Teron Davenport in for Big Joe today at the Hermitage Golf Course. As we're kind of going through, you've had a mock draft that you went and made. Go ahead and give us the results of it real quick.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let me just switch to the other screen here. And 3, 2, 1. Okay. Obviously, first pick is going to be Cam Ward. We know that. Luther Burden was on the board.
At 35.
So was James Pierce. And look, here's the deal. Obviously, if Pierce is there, like, I would pick him. But
so
I
you would
to do
take
this.
You would take Pierce over Burden?
Right. I think if you go, like, prospect for prospect horizontally,
yeah,
I would hesitantly, but I would.
I probably would agree with that because they need edge. They need help.
Right,
there.
Exactly. So you do have that. So I took Burden at 35. Now I was able to creep into the third round. So I packaged pick 103 and pick 141 for I tried to get 72. I got a little desperate. I traded into the third. I traded it for pick 93, right? Probably overpaid for it. I'll admit I overpaid. But Josiah Stewart, got him. Like, he's a very traitsy edge rusher. I think he's one of those guys that could be, a day two guy that could produce.
Yeah.
One of those rare. He has that potential to do it. So I got him, right? And then in the fourth round with pick 120, I took Quincy Riley. We talked about the cornerback situation. And then in round five, I took Baron Sorrell out of Texas, who I think is, you know, a very good player as well. Could help out with the depth there. Round six, I couldn't believe Elijah Badger was still on. I took him. And then the second pick in round six, I took your guy, Seth McLaughlin.
So this way, Seth McLaughlin.
Yeah, we got a guard center, you know, and we addressed the offensive line a little bit. Give Corey Levin some competition. Although they did sign two other guys that will compete with him too. So, yeah, we got some things going at guard center.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like it. And it's funny, whenever I've brought him up, Big Joe, I think, has a little bit of PTSD and says you know, don't get another Ohio State offensive lineman.
Yeah, Big Joe knows, man. You scout the prospect, not the school.
Yeah, exactly. 615-737-1025. Trey wants to comment on the number one overall pick. And, Trey, I can only imagine how you feel about the number one overall pick. Go ahead.
Man, how y'all doing today? What's up, TD?
What's up? What's going on?
No much. Hey, I just believe that, you know, we have too many holes and gaps in the defense and in the offense. You know, we probably need 8 players to fix that. And from what it's just crazy to you know, sacrifice the number one pick when you have probably $200 million worth of work to do and to build the team. And if that's what they're going to do, I hope it works out for them. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Oh, Trey, don't leave us. What do you want to do with that number one pick?
I think they should trade down. get more picks. We need another guard, baby guard. We need an edge rusher. We need a cornerback. We need a tight end. We need another running back. I don't know.
Are they gonna
say that, you know, when he fails that he's still good?
But when he succeeds, then what? Like there's two sides of the story.
Sure. If he succeeds, all glory to him. Yeah, but if he doesn't, then what the conversation, what the narrative is going to be then?
I think
– You know we need eight or nine different –
But you can't just come in just automatically assuming that man's going to fail. What he's done was overcoming odds.
I'm not assuming. But what I'm saying is, okay, if he does great, okay, what if our record is 6-12? Is it still great?
It's a good start.
If you go 6-12
with him as a rookie, and then you continue to build upon it, because here's the thing. This team, Trey, you and I both know,
Thanks, like
as good of a fan Trey is and a lot of these Titans fans, they know this team ain't going to the Super Bowl next year. So what you do is it's a step process, right? You get your quarterback in that you feel that you can win with. You match him up like with the coach. And I can't stress how important stability is in this situation. If you take this quarterback, do not fire Brian Callahan.
Preach.
Do not fire him.
Preach.
You got to give them 2 years. Now, I get it. If it's just a complete and total mess, then yeah. But if you win 6 games, you know, and one of them's not against New England, okay, so what? Still give them a chance. You get your quarterback, and now you start to build around your quarterback.
Yeah.
As you're building, you already fortified the trenches. Yeah, you need another guard, but you could get that later. Yeah, you need a tight end. You know, you need an edge rusher. These are all picks that you could get. You're not going to get everything with one pick.
Well, Carl, I can't resist this. If they go 6-12, Goodell has snuck in the 18th game on us. So there's that.
Yeah.
But if they go 6-11, I know that's not great. But guess what? That's an improvement.
It's an improvement.
You're going in the right direction. If they're, you know, 8-9, I mean, you take that all day long compared to what you've had.
Absolutely. 8-9.
With a rookie quarterback? 8-9,
you might have to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. If they're going to take Cam Ward, which they are, you have got to I'm talking to Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi and Amy Adams-Strong. You have to say, we're committed to Brian Callahan for at least 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go 0-17, to your point, all right, that's a different conversation. But if you're showing competitiveness, if the rookie is showing that he's developing, if the scheme is obviously working with him, then you gotta let it play out.
Yeah.
You gotta be patient. You can't have this, you know, backstabbing, oh, we're just going to go through this year and then go get my guy. You can't do that.
It's like, not reactive.
As Jared calls it, you cannot have my guy syndrome.
That's a great coin. A phrase that he coined.
You cannot have that.
And, you know, the thing is also because, I mean, like, the Cam Ward truthers who feel that Brian Callahan should only get this year and if it doesn't work will say, hey, well, you know, he's been in different schemes before. You got to remember this. His coach, Eric Morris, at Incarnate Word, was also the offensive coordinator at Washington State.
Yeah.
So that's not two different schemes.
Right. He's gone.
You know what I mean?
He went with him.
Yeah.
And I think that's certainly a fair point. But I think you got to let this.
Got to let it play out.
You got to let it play out. You got to let it develop. Because I've heard people go, well, why do you trust Brian Callahan to develop Cam Ward? He couldn't do it with Will Levis. No, I think what he discovered was Will Levis isn't a starting NFL quarterback. And I think he found that out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, first game did not show him a whole lot of good things. Now, do I think Levis can stay in this league and be a backup? Sure. But I think we all know he's not the guy.
It's so frustrating.
That's not on the coach.
I was talking to Blake Bedingfield. He helped me with a story I have coming out. And, you know, we talked about Levis, and I'm just like, man, you know, I remember Chris Anderson, I first saw him, and I turned to Chris and I was like, if God himself was making a quarterback, like, this is what it would look like. But it's just, it's like he stopped at the shoulders.
Yeah.
He didn't put the stuff up top that you need. And Blake, you know, he talked about how it seems like he has that, you know, want-to syndrome where he always wants to please everybody and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, and that gets in his way. I think that's a really good point because I think Levis, if he could lose some of that where he just plays his game and plays like he practices because supposedly he practices really well, then you might have be having a different conversation. But it's almost like he tries too hard.
Yeah.
And when he tries too hard, he makes mistakes.
Now, here's the thing, and I think, you know, this is something that we probably should talk about. If they go 1-5, 2-4 to start,
then what happens?
How do you handle that?
Let's talk about that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe. TD is in for Big Joe today. We're live at the Hermitage Golf Course for the Stars Golf Tournament. Plus, we'll get some of your texts on this as well. It is draft week, and we're excited about our draft coverage getting underway on Thursday from Twin Peaks in Madison. It'll be Jared Stillman. It'll be Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, and Trevor Maddich from ESPN. Plus, I'm sure we'll check in with TD from the facility as well. It all gets underway at 6 o'clock, presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Company, and Professional Home Improvements. That starts Thursday at 6 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. Teron Davenport in for Big Joe at the Hermitage Golf Course, Stars Golf Tournament. It is a little rainy today, but they're on the course. Rain or shine, this thing is going. I did want to mention before we get into more of this discussion at quarterback, Shefty put out a few minutes ago, the Eagles and Cam Jurgens, their Pro Bowl center, have agreed to a 4-year, $68 million extension. I think like 32-ish of that is guaranteed. He's now the second highest paid center in NFL history. And I was just commenting to you, Howie Roseman has just, I mean, it's like he knew Kelce was going to be retiring in a few years, so they drafted Jurgens, they moved him over to center. Now you got him, you're paying him. He finds money under the couch, and I know Jared's going to use that for his cap is fake theory, but, you know, he finds that. But Howie, to me, has put together quietly a Hall of Fame resume for a general manager. Two Super Bowls now, and then just the talent he's able to find.
And I think when you mentioned the two Super Bowls, this is for an organization that had never won before.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? And you're right, the talent that he's able to find. And I was just telling you the story about Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent when those guys were the starting corners. And in the same draft, he took Lito Shepard in the first round, and then in the third round, he grabbed Sheldon Brown. And those guys were starting at corner 2 years later when the guys who were established were gone. So, yeah, he's done a great job in just, like, making that shrewd move, right? Like, hey – get on the phone. I know A.J. Brown is the, you know, the buzzers are circling around him in Tennessee, who, by the way, and I got to say something to my city, man. You guys are tripping, man. They stole A.J. Brown's car last night.
Really?
Yeah, they stole his car, man. You guys got to
stop. Come on now.
They did that to Embiid. They did that to a few. You got to stop that foolishness. But anyway, that move like that, like those are the types of moves, right? And that's why, like, when they were talking about Myles Garrett, Max Crosby becoming available, everybody's like, Howie is going to mess around and go get him. And it just, he has a knack for identifying what the team needs and doing what he has to do to bring it in.
So we were discussing, you brought it up, that you bring in Cam Ward, you start him as a rookie, you know, keep Brian Callahan, be patient there. But what if they start out, you know, 1-6, 2-5, somewhere in there, then what? And like, we know that, like, okay, answer this question real quick. If you had to give a percentage of Will Levis being on the roster when they start the season, what would you put it at?
55%.
That's kind of where I'm at, too. I think there's a good chance he's not on the roster.
Yeah.
So you have Brandon Allen that you brought in, but – okay, he is what he is. So what if? Because if you make the change, like if you're making the commitment to Cam Ward to be your starter from day one, you're riding with that.
You can't
go back on that because you'll ruin him if you do.
Yeah.
So then what?
Yeah. And I mean, you look at Carolina, you know, with the Bryce Young situation.
And that's a little different.
But yeah, I
but would. You don't have Andy Dalton on this
right,
roster.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the big thing. So, it's not my question. Nick did a great job.
Yeah,
Nick Frazier,
yeah.
You know, bringing that up. He did a great job. But I think if you have that rough start and the quarterback's a big part of it, you gotta just work through it. But then you also have to look at how you're losing games.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like,
how close are they?
Yeah, if they're close games, if you're just getting dog walked, then that's a different story. So it's all relative, but I think it's something you definitely have to think about. But here's the problem. If you fire Brian Callahan, like, who do you turn to for the rest of the year? And then remember, his son's on the – I mean, his dad is on the thing. So then what –
like, you're probably firing both of them.
Yeah, you're going to have to clean that whole thing up. And that's not something you do during the year.
No, and here's the other thing. The most qualified – to answer your question, the most qualified person on that coaching staff to take over for Brian Callahan, if you fire Brian Callahan, is Bill Callahan.
Exactly.
Is the former head coach that took his team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's talk about an awkward conversation. Hey, Bill, we're firing your son, but we need you to take over.
That's why that's a conversation. You got to hope that it doesn't even get to that.
What about Bones Fossil?
I mean, that's the likely answer.
Yeah.
But because he's done it before. But I know he didn't want to do it before.
Right.
So, like, would he want to do it now?
He's dead man walking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to give him the job unless, you know, something crazy.
Well, he was smart getting a 2-year deal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, knowing that some of this could happen. But I'm with you. I'm just kind of like – you just kind of have to ride it out and then address it at the end of the year. And I know it's apples and oranges to compare hockey and football, but that was my take with Andrew Brunette when they were talking. You know, everybody was like, oh, he needs to be fired. He needs to be fired. Number one, who's available that's going to be better at this point in time, in the middle of the season? And two, is that really – and I know hockey, that happens. You fire a coach and it – you know, it does spark something, but I just think they were in a position where they needed to ride it out. That's what they did, and now they're looking at what they're going to do. But my hope is that we're not having this conversation, that, you know, you see some rookie struggles that are going to exist, but you also see, like, okay, he's not making the same mistake twice like his predecessor. He's learning. He's getting more comfortable. He's getting more confident.
Yeah.
The nerves are settling, and he's getting a grasp on the system. And if you see improvement, again, it's not always cut and dry of, oh, they lost the game. How did they lose the game?
Right.
How close was the game? Did they lose the game because they were down by, you know, a touchdown and Cam Ward tries to make a play and just throws a pick, you know, for throwing the ball deep down the field, trying to make a play? But they were in it the whole way. Did the defense give up a bad score? Did, you know, there are a lot of factors that go into how you win or lose a game.
Yeah, and there's levels of a loss. And obviously, a loss is a loss, and end of the day, so
sure.
But there's things you could build upon. Let's say, you know, they're playing the Chiefs, and the Chiefs jump out to a 21-0 lead, and the Titans fight back and end up losing 28-24. You're like, okay.
Yeah, there's something there.
You know what? There's a little – yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's one that we could build upon. Like, that's what you think if you're the team. So, it's just all relative, man. And I think, you know, even, like, looking at some of the in the chat here, you know, talking about Brian Callahan getting targets for Calvin Ridley. And, look, you could dial the play up.
Yeah.
And there were a good 2 to 3 weeks where Nick Holt stood up there and I said, hey – and he was like, yeah, we had plays to Ridley where he was the number one, but for whatever reason, it went elsewhere, and it was open. You know, so it's on the coaches.
Right,
you know
which
I mean?
Is basically the nice way of saying the quarterback did the opposite of what we wanted him to do.
Or take the opportunity that we dialed up for him. You
right. Skyler says in our text line, I'm not arguing that Cam Ward isn't a great talent. I'm worried that the Titans franchise as an organization – is going to fail the young man with lack of talent around him, and everybody will be fired in a year or two.
Hey, listen. He has legit reason to be worried.
Sure.
But you also have legit reason to have hope, because you look at what Mike Borgonzi and Dave Ziegler and Reggie McKenzie, you know, with Chad Brinker overseeing it, have done already. They really fortified the offensive line, right? They identified that. Hey, look, this is – And then even I know, like, Za'Darius Smith, I'm not sure why he's still on the market. He's someone that they obviously should have brought in. Draymond Jones, a really good pick. And actually on that Jeffrey Simmons interview with Jill, I believe he said that Draymond was kind of like a Danico Autry. Mm-hmm. You know, not the same player, but like that inside-outside type of guy that will help. So you got that. Obviously receiver. But I think the point is Borgonzi and this crew have given you hope, and then you always could lean back on what Borgonzi did in Kansas City.
But
like what Rand did in San Francisco, to have that happen here, you got to give it a chance.
Yeah, you can't.
That's the main thing.
You can't just pull the plug all with, like they've been doing the past 3 years.
Right.
Like there's been no patience. And, you know, I wonder if that was a part of the conversation and why, you know, a certain someone has kind of gone into the darkness a little bit, and you haven't seen Amy Adams Strunk as much.
She was at the league meetings, but we didn't get to see. I was hoping to see her. You know, because she's always very, very nice. I'm very fond of Amy
Adams. She's a very nice, very nice person. It just, I think, like her dad, would get a little too impatient.
Yeah, very reactionary.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to get on the bad side.
No, you just got to let it. You got to let some things play out.
Yeah, let
That's
it cook.
Just how it is. Let it cook. Exactly. A guy that you covered for a long time, Brett Kern, former Titans punter, is going to join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the draft and so much more. Chasing Big Joe, Teron in for Big Joe today at the Hermitage Golf Course, the Stars Golf Tournament going on right now. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.